Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. Until the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege, Lord, just to gather in your house and look into your word, Lord. And God, I ask that you just still our minds this morning, Lord. God, that you just give us receptive ears, Lord. God, that you'd allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, just to touch our hearts, Lord, with the message this morning, Lord, and accomplish the work that you'd have done today, Lord. God, mold us and shape us to be more like you, Father. I pray that you'd reveal to us, Lord, what needs to be done in our own lives, Lord. And God, just help us, Father, to grow spiritually, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're introduced right here to a church that, as far as outward appearance goes, is doing everything right. I mean, notice God's commended them twice for their work ethic. Look at verse number 2, I know thy works and thy labor. And then verse 3, and it's born and has patience and for my name's sake has labored. They're a working church. They're not coming inside the four church walls and sitting there and doing nothing. They're out in the community. They're visiting. I mean, they're doing everything they can to evangelize Ephesus. There's always something going on. If we were to pass by this church, here's what we'd say. Man, there's always something going on down there. Them's the workingest people you ever seen. They were busy doing something. So he commends them for their work ethic. He commends them for their standards. Look at verse number 2. It says, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That word bear means to support. Hey, they were separated people. They didn't tolerate sin. I don't think the pastor at Ephesus probably had to get up on a daily, weekly basis and hammer on separation. Hammer on holiness. They didn't want those things. They weren't with... This is a church that wasn't really... reeling to compromise their standards to try to build a crowd. I mean, they wouldn't support, they didn't want anything to do with anybody or anything that was evil. Sounds like a good group of people, doesn't it? Paul in Acts 20 had warned the Ephesian elders that false teachers would come. And notice what they were doing. Verse number 2, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. When those people would come into town and claim that they were an apostle, that they had a word from God, you know what they'd do? They'd measure them by the word of God. If they weren't right, you know what they identified them. Hey, that's a liar. You need to stay away from them. They're doing it right. God commends them for their work. He commends them for their standards. The fact that they wouldn't endure or bear anything that was evil, I suspect they were very high on church discipline too. They were concerned about the purity of the church. He commends them for their standards. Then he commends them for their faithfulness. Look at verse number 3. And hast born and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. When things got hard, you know what this little group of people did? They just labored on. When the persecution came, you know what they did? They just labored on. If you were sitting in that church, here's probably what you'd hear. You'd hear somebody saying, hey, just wait. God's fixing to do something. God said His Word wouldn't return void. We can't quit. We can't stop what we're doing. Sounds like a good church. If we were to measure, if that church was down the road, here's what we'd say about it. Man, that's a good church. That's a good soul. That's where I like to raise my family. But you know what things wasn't as they appear? On the outward side, that outward appearance, everything's great. But notice what God says to them. Verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Here's a church doing everything they could, and you know what their problem was? They didn't love God like they should. They left their first love. Notice it says that they left their first love. It doesn't say that you've lost your first love. You know, if I lose something, there's a good chance I'm not going to get it back. If I was to tell you I've lost my wallet, you know what? There's a pretty good chance I'm never going to find it. But if I tell you I left my wallet somewhere, you know what's hindering me from getting it back? Me. The only thing that's going to hinder me from getting my wallet is going back to where I got it. And you know what? You can't get something back. You can't leave something and go back and get it and keep traveling in the same direction. If I tell you, hey, I left my Bible, I left my wallet right here. But hey, I'm heading this way. The only way I'm going to get it back, you know what? I got to turn. I got to change the direction I'm going, and I have to go back to where I lost it. Amen. They were blind to the fact of their own heart. Here's a good group of people. God had to tell them, you've left your first love. They were blind to it. God had to tell them, hey, you don't love me the way you're supposed to or the way you used to. Do you know it's going to take God to reveal to us that we have a heart problem? Amen. We can do everything right. We can look right. But it's going to take the Holy Spirit working upon our hearts to reveal to us that, hey, I don't love God the way I used to. I don't love God the way that I should. What we do for God is important, but our motive is just as important. Do you know, here's a church, think about this, here's a church that's serving God. They're sacrificing. They're suffering for the cause of Christ, and they don't love God. Now you think about that for a minute. You mean it's possible to serve God, give God everything I got, to sacrifice my life for Him? Suffer persecution for His name's sake and not love Him right. That's what this church was doing. Your motives, everybody's got different motives for why they do things. There's people that serve God just so they can be a big shot. Just so the brethren will pat them on the back for the praise of men. Some people, they just serve out of obligation. It's what's expected of them. Why do you serve? Do you know some people just serve God, just protect their reputation? They want to give that outward appearance that, hey, I'm spiritual. I've never forgot this. You want to measure your heart. Here's what you can do a lot of times. When you start measuring your motive, discipline, duty, and desire. Discipline says, I have to. When I lived at home, 8, 9, 10 years old, I went to church every Sunday. You know why? I had to. No, really, I mean, there wasn't a choice. I mean, you were going to church. But then when I got about 18, 19 years old, you know what? That I have to turned into I ought to. That was the discipline I had to. But you know what? Then duty kicked in. All of a sudden now, I had the choice. I mean, I was working a job, busy of my own life. But Sunday would roll around, and here's what I'd be thinking. You know what? I ought to go to church. My flesh, really, I had other things I wanted to do, but I knew it was the right thing to do. But then as I began to grow spiritually, you know what? Desire kicked in. And it didn't go. I wasn't going to church because I had to or because I ought to. I was going because I wanted to. And you know what? There's a lot of people, they're serving God because they have to. There's a lot that's serving God because they feel like it's just what they ought to do. It's the right thing to do. But you know what? We ought to be serving God because we want to. Here's a group of people I want you to see. They were serving God, but they had a heart problem. Notice the seriousness of the problem. Notice what God says in verse number 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. That word fallen. If you was to tell me, hey, they've fallen into sin. Just that word. You know what my immediate thought is? Some gross, immoral sin. I mean, they've got into false doctrine. Something major has happened. God's using that word fallen just to describe a group of people that's serving Him, but just don't love Him like they should. Our heart, if our heart is not right with God, if we've lost that first, it's a serious problem. We may not realize it, but it's a serious problem, and God knows that. And if the problem's not fixed, notice what God's going to do. Remember, verse 5, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That candlestick, it gives light. It's symbolic of God's presence. Here's what God's telling them. If that church at Ephesus does not fix this problem, I'm going to remove my presence from you. I'm not going to dwell with you anymore. Jill, there's a lot of churches. And I'll just tell you, they're busy. They're doing a lot. They're suffering. They're doing everything. But you know what? There's no presence of God there. You know why? Because they've left their first love and they didn't fix the problem. Leave your love and you'll lose your light. One writer said this, and it's a very sobering thought, and you just chew on it. He said, a church functioning without love for the Lord is useless. Now you think about that. If this church right now, as we as a body of believers lose our first love for God, all the labor, everything we're doing, it's in vain. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? And notice what he says. He said, I will come unto thee quickly. God's patient, but when he reveals a problem, you know what's going to happen? He's going to deal with it. He expects you to deal with it. And if you refuse, judgment's coming. And as I looked at this, here's the question I started thinking. Are we guilty of this same problem? Leaving our first love. I mean, are we like the churches? We're laboring. We're giving our energy to the cause of Christ. We're sacrificing. I mean, we've got convictions and standards that most people don't even have. And despite lack of results, you know what we keep doing? We just keep laboring on. Because we know in due season we'll reap if we faint not. But where's our heart? In all this and everything we're doing, where's our heart? The fact is, if our heart's not right, judgment's coming. I don't want to lose the presence of God out of this church. But you know what? If we lose our first love, we'll lose it. It's a fact. It's not something that we might lose it. If we lose our first love, we will lose the presence of God out of this church. And see, really, when the fear and the presence of God is lost in the home, it's going to spill over to being lost in the church. Yes, carnal homes produce carnal churches. Amen. You're never going to see a spiritual home, a body of spiritual homes, produce a carnal church. It won't happen. Now here's the sobering thought. I'm the head of my house. I'm the head of my house. Did you know it don't matter how spiritual my wife is? It doesn't matter how spiritual my wife is, how spiritual my children are. I'm the head of my home. If I lose the presence of God, you know what's going to happen to my home? It's going to trickle down to them. Because I'm the head. It doesn't matter, and I understand, no matter how spiritual they are, my home is going to be determined by my spirituality. And if I refused to give God my first love, you know what? They're going to do the same. If I refuse to allow God to have His place in my heart like He should, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to lose the presence of God in my home. Then it's going to come over into the church, and the church is going to lose the presence of God. And we're going to be busy doing everything, teaching our children to do right. And you know what? They're going to grow up just going through the same motions that we went through. And they're never going to know what it's like to have that personal, close, intimate relationship with God. It's a sobering fact. And so how do we regain our first love? I mean, because if we would be honest, we all struggle with our heart. Notice what God tells them to do in verse number 5. The first thing He says, remember from whence thou art fallen. Just remember what we've lost. If I could say it this way, just acknowledge that we've sinned. Yes, sir. You know what we have a bad habit of doing? Just not coming clean and being honest with God. We just put on the little show. We just pretend everything's right, that I'm right, everything's right. And deep down in our hearts, we know, hey, I'm not right where I need to be. We've all seen people that are struggling. I mean, from the outside, just looking at their lives, they're struggling. Their heart's not right. But you talk to them and you know what? Everything's great. Love God. We love God. And you know that there's a problem. They won't acknowledge it. They're not willing to say, hey, there's trouble in my home. Here's what God's telling these people. The first thing you want to do, if you want to regain that first love, you've got to acknowledge that there's a problem. What would you think if I sit on these pews for 5 years and I never went to the altar one time? You would think surely in 5 years that God at some point, the way He moves His prayer, would have dealt with my heart on something and I had to come up here and get right. Why do we not do that? Why do we see service after service, the altars are empty? I mean, we know the pastor's got God's message, that God's dealing with our hearts. Why don't we deal with it? I'll tell you why. Because we're not being honest with God. And here's what everybody's heard it. Well, God spoke to me through the message, but I'm going to deal with it when I get home. Here's what I purposed a long time ago. If God speaks to me in the house of God, dealing with my heart on a problem, you know what? I'm going to come up here in the house of God and I'm going to deal with it and I'm going to try to fix it right then. But we don't do that. We're too proud. We're too proud to let others, the brethren, think that we're not what we should be. We want to hear the preacher, well, amen to preacher, knowing we're guilty, and many times everybody sitting around us knows we're guilty. And we're too proud to come up here and get right with God. You're never going to get that first love back until you're willing to admit, hey, there is a problem in my heart. There's a problem in my life. I've allowed God to lose first place in my heart. Until you're willing to admit that, you're not going to get any help. And here's the great danger. If you're not willing to acknowledge that you've sinned, judgment's coming. You're going to lose the presence of God in your home, in your life, in this church. We got to be honest with God. We look at that person in the mirror, and you know what we do? We think so highly of him. We do. We look in the mirror, and we think so highly. What a good person that is. You know what? We're all nothing. Outside of God, we don't have one thing to brag about. We don't have one thing to be proud of. We're all sinners. We all struggle with our flesh. We all have the same spiritual enemies. And you know what? We might as well just quit putting on a song and dance and a show and be honest enough to say, hey, preacher, I'm struggling. There's nothing wrong with that. The reason, you know why God told them that they left their first love? Because He wanted them to be right. God wants you to be right. He wants that close relationship. But He told them to remember. But then notice what else He says in verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent. A change of mind that results in a change of direction. I've already given you the illustration. If I lose something right here, if I've left something right here rather, and I'm going this direction, if I want it back, I got to turn, I got to go back. I cannot keep going in the same direction and get something I left somewhere else. But here's what we keep trying to do spiritually. We've left God over here, and we've turned toward the things of the world, toward things that don't mean nothing, and we keep going to Him. And in our hearts, we know we've left God. We've left Him. We know what we've done. We know exactly what we need to do to get right, but we're not going to change direction and fix it. You don't repent, judgment's coming. Instead of repenting, you know what we do? We make excuses. And we blame others for our own spiritual failures. It's the preacher's fault. My circumstances in life, where I'm at in life right now, I'm just in a hard place. That's why I'm struggling. Too many distractions, why I'm just struggling spiritually. You know what I found out in my personal life? When I have repented, you know what I found out every time? The only person to blame was myself. Because when I got right, looking back, you know what? I was the one. I was the problem. Everything that was wrong, it wasn't the people around me. It was me. But God said, remember, repent. And then here's what I want to spend a little bit of time on. And do the first works. I want you to remember, acknowledge that you sin, repent, and then just go back and do those first things again. And I just start thinking, what were those first works? And here's where my mind went. Most writers I'd read, here's what they'd say, that first love, it's like a honeymoon type love. And so my mind, I started just thinking how I treated my wife when we were engaged or first married. And you know what? As I begin to think on that, Brother Mill, I treat her a whole lot differently than I did back then. You know what? Those first works, you know what the first thing I thought of? Was prayer. Or if I could relate to me and Kelly, it was communication. Let me ask you men something. How often did you talk to your wives when you were engaged? You know what? I talk to my wife every day about everything. I mean, what my troubles, I mean, just anything. If something good happened, I want to call her and tell her about it. If I was concerned about something or upset, I want to call and tell her about it. Everything that went on, I want to share every detail of my life with her. And I was excited that I had somebody that loved me enough that actually even cared what was going on in my life. I'd go to work and I'd come home. And I'd feel like I was going to die if I couldn't talk to her. I mean, all I want to do is just hurry home and I was going to call her and see how her day went. Why aren't we that way with God? If I never talked to my wife, would she ever know how much I loved her? Did you know when we don't talk to God, here's what we're really saying? God, I don't need you. Hey, if I put a ring on her finger and then I never called her again, you know what she'd start thinking? He don't really care about me. He don't really need me in his life. That's what we're telling God. When we don't pray, when we don't talk to him, we're telling God, God, I don't really need you. I started thinking this. I wonder how many men would be married today if back then we talked to our wives with the attitude we have towards prayer today. What if I just talked to her once or twice a week? Think she'd still want to marry me? Think she'd still know that I loved her? How about this? What if I just called her when I needed something? What if, honey, I love you, and if I need something, I'll call you. She going to feel loved? She's going to feel used. Is that not our attitude toward prayer a lot of times? Pray once or twice a week, and really the only time we have a good, earnest prayer is when we need God to do something for us. That's it. We don't share stuff with Him. What if I said this? Called her up and said, now, Kelly, I'm going to talk to you for 15 minutes. And when 15 minutes is over, I'm hanging up and I'll call you tomorrow and I'll try to give you 15 more minutes. How do you think she'd feel? How do you think God feels when we sit and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. And Lord, when that timer goes off, I'm done. Lord, I've set aside X amount of time that I want to pray to you. And Lord, that's all you're getting till tomorrow. Or the next time I decide to give you a little time. Think he'd feel loved? We're talking about getting back to our first love. Do you know I could talk to Kelly. We never ran out of things to say. We talked 2 hours on the phone. And I mean, it's like you just had to make yourself hang up and quit talking. But you can talk about praying to God for an hour and here's what our flesh starts thinking. Man, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about for an hour? You know why me and Kelly could talk for so long? Because I listened to her. She would say something, I'd respond to it. When you disobey the Word of God, willingly disobey God's Word, you know what? It makes prayer a little awkward, doesn't it? It's hard to talk to somebody when you know that you're not listening to them. If we want to get back to our first word, it's going to start with prayer, that communication. What if I said the exact same thing to my wife every day? What if I called her up? I mean, we're engaged. What if I called her up every day? Listen, I just want to let you know I had a good day today. I love you, and I hope you had a good day, and I'll call you tomorrow. Call the next day. Listen, just want to let you know I had a good day. I love you. I hope you had a good day, and I'll call you tomorrow. You think she's going to feel special? We do God that way. We got the same, if we be honest, there's times we got the same mechanical prayers that we go through on a regular basis. We've prayed, we've talked to God, but it's just the same mechanical prayer. We've never opened up. We've never opened up for that personal relationship. We're just going through the motions, some mechanical prayer. And you know what? God's not impressed. He don't feel loved. Renewing those first works. If my prayer life, let me word it this way. If I talk to my wife the way my prayer life is, you know what you'd say? That our relationship was a joke. I mean, if I just called her and talked to her when I needed her, said I'm going to give you X amount of time, and when we're done, that's all I'm talking to you about, had some old mechanical line that I just told her the same thing every day, and I said, that's my future bride right there. I love her. You'd say, that's a joke. Your relationship is a joke. What does our prayer life say about our relationship with God? If we're going to get back to God having priority in our lives, to having that first place in our hearts, it's going to start with prayer. It's going to start with that communication. But then I start to think about this. Not only is there going to be prayer, but it's going to take preeminence. Do you know when my bride was never a distraction from my life? I mean, she was my life. I mean, when we were engaged, first married, it didn't matter what was going on. You know what? I never felt like I was missing anything spending time with her. Hey, when I was with her, I didn't care what my friends and buddies were doing. I didn't care what was going on in the world. I was exactly where I wanted to be. And I was happy as I could be. What does it say about us when we have special meetings, revivals, and other things, and we're sitting on the church pews and we're thinking, man, I need to be home doing this. Boy, I'm missing out. There's such and such going on, and I'm missing out on that. We don't give God the preeminence. I never felt like I was sacrificing to do anything for. I can remember many times, we didn't have an IHOP in town then. And those times, I mean, midnight, I'd like to have some pancakes. You know what I'd do? We'd load up and we'd drive to Pigeon Forge to IHOP up there. And you know what? I'd buy our pancakes. Didn't bother me at all. If it happened now, I'd say, make me some too. But back then is a different thing. I mean, just whatever. I mean, whatever she wanted, I didn't feel like I was being abused. I mean, I didn't say, man, you're crazy. You expect me at midnight to drive all the way to Pigeon Forge to get you something to eat? Didn't bother me at all. Yeah, if that's what you want to do, let's go. You know why? She had first place in my heart. She had the preeminence in my heart. If I was in the middle of something, she called. Drop whatever it was to do what she needed. I gave her my best. Everything I had. Money, man, I spent every dime I had. But if we was out and she saw a purse she liked, you know what I'd do? I'd buy it for her. If it's $40 and I had $40 in my pocket, it's hers. I'd figure out how to make it through the rest of the week later. I mean, I didn't care. I wanted whatever her desires were, that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see her desires met, her needs met. I didn't care about myself. You know why? Because she had the preeminence in my life. If I took her out to eat, you know what? I didn't show up in the truck and her get in and me hand her a bottle of water and a sandwich and say, that'll do you to get home. I took her nice places to eat. I mean, whatever she wanted, I gave her my best. I looked my best for her. I didn't come in from work and just walk back out the door nasty. I'd clean up, but I'd try to just do the best I had with what I got. But, you know, I tried to look my best. You know why? Because she was important to me. She had the preeminence in my heart. And you know what's missing today? Not only is there no prayer, God doesn't have the preeminence in our lives. I mean, the Bible says, Colossians 1:18, that He's had preeminence in all things. God's desires should be more important than my desires. God's needs should be more important than my needs. Everything I have, you know what I should be focused on? Pleasing God. And the reason I don't is because He doesn't have preeminence in my life like He should. If we're going to get back to those first, that first love, it's going to start with prayer. It's going to start with preeminence. It's going to start with praise. You know what that first love is? It's an expressive love. I told my wife back then, I don't guess I ever talked to her and hung up and said, I love you. I'd buy her gifts, jewelry. I'd do everything I could. You know why? Because I wanted her to know. I wanted to make sure she knew how much I loved her. That first love's an expressive love. That first love's a thankful love. You know what? Everything she used to do that now I take for granted, I was grateful for. Come home and supper be on the table, I was thankful for it. Get up in the morning, your clothes are laid out, ready for you to go to work, I was thankful for it. But you know what happens over time? We just get used to it and we take it for granted. You know when I notice supper now? When it's not on the table when I come home. I mean, it can be there for a whole month. I mean, I can come in from work and it's right there on the table and I'll never say a word. But the one time I come in, it's not in. What happened today? What's going on? That's not first love right there. First love's thankful for everything. That first love, we took notice of everything that we take for granted today. When's the last time we just took time and just expressed our praise, our thankfulness, and just let God know, Lord, how much I love you? We don't do it. When's the last time we just said, Lord, I love you. Lord, you're so merciful to me. God, you love me, and just the compassion you've shown me when I don't deserve it. Lord, all the times you should have turned your back on, but God, you just stayed right there with me. And Father, I just want to tell you that I love you for it. And I'm so thankful for all you've done for me in my life. It's not there anymore, is it? You know why? Because all those things we just take for granted. When you start doing those first works, when you go back to the prayer, letting Him have preeminence and praising Him for what He's done in your life, you know what we'll do? We'll get back to that first love. We'll start remembering what it used to be like. John's message was to the church. But you know what that church is composed of? Individuals. And if we don't want to lose God's presence, you know what we've got to do? We've got to get back. We've got to have that first love in our hearts. And if this church is going to have that, it's going to be every home doing their part. It's going to be every individual just getting back to those first works. Just getting back to praying, that close relationship with God, talking to Him, allowing Him to have preeminence in your life, that all you're concerned about is Him and what He desires. And then just praising Him and thanking Him for His good. Letting the world and everybody know how much we love Him. Because here's what's going to happen if we don't. Judgment's coming. Verse 5 again. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. If we'd be honest, we all struggle with God having a place in our heart like He used to have. I mean, we're just flesh. We've allowed the devil, the world, everything just to creep into our lives and our hearts. But if we don't fix the problem, we're going to be judged for it. This church, our lives, we will lose God's presence as sure as I'm standing here. And I can tell you this for me, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it in my home. I don't want to lose it in this church. I want my children to grow up knowing what it's like to have that close walk with God. And as head of my home, you know what? It's going to start with me. And if I'm not willing to pray, if I'm not willing to do those first works, I'm never going to find it again. I ask y'all to stand this morning. Miss King or somebody just wants to come play. We won't need a song this morning. I ask you just bow your heads this morning. Here's what I want to ask you. How's your heart with God? Can you remember, can you go back to a time, if you just be honest, that your love for God was a lot more than what it is today? If so, would you be willing to just be honest enough with God to come up here and repent and just say, Lord, I've failed you. Lord, you've not got the place in my heart that you once had. And go back to those first works, just praying. Just that close talking with God. Not just something mechanical, but sharing every detail of your life because He cares for you. Would you be willing to let Him have the preeminence in your life? That you're willing just that whatever He wants is what you want. And would you be willing to get back to just praising Him and thanking Him for all He's done for us? And if we'll do those things, you know what? We'll start experiencing the presence of God in our lives unlike we ever have before. If you need to come pray this morning, you come pray.